You're out there floating on your own, hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Get to people. Who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Get to people.
Stop it,
people.
Show some love for yourself, people. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you. Leave you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. What you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness can never get used to.
Get to people.
What are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't.
Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen, people. You better take a look at yourself, yeah.
Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
like
at.
Living
like you're living,
caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dream.
Get to people.
Stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it, y'all.
Talking to my people, yeah.
Can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you. Leave you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need when what you really want inside can only come.
You are are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. You know, I know the weather is hot as it is all around the country and all other climatic calamities are possible because climate is real. But anyway, have a good day today. It's hump day. Get over this hump and continue on and moving forward. Yeah. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, brothers and sisters, go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Right there. Would be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And times are going to give you our Eastern times. Mondays and Wednesdays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays. So this evening, Our Story with Baba West Johnson and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans. Our Story with Baba West Johnson and Brother Johnny. Pinckney to Pinckney. Pinckney to Pinckney. Sundays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan on Sundays. Well, I jumped the gun, didn't I? I just missed Thursday and Friday. Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. every Thursday is Black Liberation Movement, the Black Liberation Movement, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney from 5 to 6, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. And then right after that is Time for an Awakening once again, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. Brother Bomani has come back, and he's going to be leaving again soon, going to Tanzania November 20th to December 1st. February 12th to February 23rd, 2026, Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026, Kemet. June 10th to June 22nd, 2026, Ghana. October 1st to October 12th, 2026, Kenya. November 19th to November 30th, 2026, Azania. April 1st through April 12th, 2027. Tanzania, June 10th to June 22nd, 2027, Ghana, and some other trips, September 30th through October 11th, 2027, to Kenya, and November 18th through November 29th, 2027, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. Brothers, check out AfricaForTheAfricans.org with Brother Bomani Tayemba. But also, too, if you want to see the things that have been done, go to pictures. Go to Facebook. If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. He has it all documented right there for you. Also, too, when you go on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, there's possibilities for land for sale, investment, repatriation, Pan-African community that's being built in Ghana, all kind of good information, and everything you need. If you don't want to go with Brother Bomani or you have some other trip coming, you need to go to Africa for the Africans, because all the information, all the forms you may need, the shots and visas and so forth, everything is on the website. Check it out, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics, Brother Peter Brown, the Ledge Group. They have a program in Tanzania. And if you go through this program, you'll be offered land in Tanzania. Go to the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They blend the human essentials of human life, food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries, with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. Go to his website, check out all the products he has to offer and information that he provides. The Moses West Foundation, the Moses West Foundation, the AWG, the Atmospheric Water Generating Machine, the system that can provide water. Just put it down in the atmosphere. There's moisture in the atmosphere. It sucks in that H2O molecule and kicks out all the stuff that is in the environment that is not good, anything toxic and so forth, deals with that molecule, goes through a filterization process, turn the tap on, out comes clean, drinkable water. The problem with water, family, is access. There's water everywhere. And water is the essential for life. So if the water is dirty and nasty, there's a possibility that you can get clean water right out the air. So, the Moses West Foundation, clean water everywhere. Excuse me. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They have delicious smoothies and dry goods and all kinds of stuff. They have vegan dishes for sale on Saturday and Sunday. Check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Nature Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, greeting cards, you name it, gift certificates. It's at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. We're just there this past Monday with Mama Baina Bello and her book, and Sister Miriam Kim Long, and Mama Marimba Ani was there. It was great to see Mama Marimba and the great work that Brother Gazimde Ajamu does with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. And we talked about his book this past Monday. That's right. Trusting the Eyes Behind You. Trusting the Eyes Behind You. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Afrocentrics is located in New Black Wall Street. That's right. New Black Wall Street. It's east here, just like when you're going towards the black dot, take I-20 east. If you go to the black dot, take exit 74. Make a left. Now you're going north. The black dot is about a mile on the left. When you come back that way, jump back on I-20 and go east again. So make a left. And the next exit is exit 75. Turner Hill Road. Make a right. Three lights. Make another light. And on the left would be the new Black Wall Street Market. All right, family. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah, he's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Yes, his brother's got it all, man. You know, holistic health products and incense, DVD, CD, scents, African clothing, jewelry, furniture. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. So, Brother Abijah, Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sanjay-IET, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Check it out. Go online. Go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Aiti.org. Sonjay-Aiti.org. And of course, Mama Baina, who is from Haiti, she'll tell you that's what it is. If you want to check out Mama Baina, I always tell you all the time, y'all, to go to YouTube because it's all right there, okay? Go to YouTube and put in Mama Baina Bello. Yeah. That big, beautiful fro, and it was starting to turn gray, but she was laying it down. She's a beautiful sister. Baba Baruni Mama Ya, of course, it's the summer months, and school will be next month. That's right here in Atlanta, Georgia. And school starts in August. I believe it's going to be August 4th. Yeah. School starts here in August. So, but Baba Baruni, book, The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 8th. Plainly and simply, the purpose of living is to carry on from where our ancestors have left off and to pave the way for those yet to be born. Brother Chinue Kamalu. Being African is an epigenetic process, a process of building stages where each stage builds on the foundation of the one that came before it and lays the foundation for the ones that follow. Kamalu's remarks are descriptive of the intent of the term epigenetic in the social context. They speak of carrying forward our tradition. Often those of us who have assumed responsibility for paving the way, though they have to go through epigenetic process of what? Re-Africanization. Re-Africanization. In sequential order, these stages include encounter, where you see that the reality that you have come to pull you, excuse me, you see that the reality that you have come to pull all your faith, hope, and belief in nothing less than a massive but intricately interconnected web of lies. Then there's denial, a refusal to come to grips with the fact that you have been systematically lied to about reality. Then there's shock. When the truth can no longer be denied, then it's anger. Anger over this and the realization that the anger must be constructively vented so we can leave the comfort of our menticide. Search. Being the compulsion to find the most effective way to reverse our destruction. Study. The intensive and extensive effort to gain knowledge of self and all that seeks to destroy it. And finally, focus rage.
When warriors see their preeminent responsibilities as winning their people's liberation through consciously acting on their newfound self-awareness wherever they are and in every way they can. Now, affirm, I never turn from the strength of my ancestors. Affirm, I never turn from the strength of my ancestors. July 9th. We must be about the business of liberating the minds of children. Ashe. In order for that to occur, the minds of all Africans who interact with them must be liberated. I'll read that again. In order for us to liberate the minds of African children, in order for that to occur, the minds of all Africans who interact with them must also be liberated. There's no other way, family. There's no other way. The Honorable Dr. Bobby Wright. Europeans should never be present in the classrooms of our children. Let me repeat. Europeans should never be present in the classroom of our children. Their tainted truth should never enter the children's ears or minds. Relying on them to tell our story and then defend us from ourselves is a sad statement about our will to be African. They are absolutely incapable of teaching our children of their true power and the responsible use of it for our community. Neither is there any African potency in the words of Negroes. They cannot be because their influence leads to sub-integrationist suicide. They are not willing to die against the lies that betray our people's trust and interests. They bring them. Moreover, today, their primary mission, evident in virtually every school system where our children are found, is to serve as the colored administrators who introduce European teachers to our children's classrooms so that it does not appear as a European sub-integrationist initiative. No one worked for and against our children at the same time. No one can work for and against our children at the same time. Ashe. Affirm, I work to liberate our children's minds from whiteness. Ashe. Affirm, I work to liberate our children's minds from whiteness. That's tough. That is extremely difficult, family. Because why? The vast majority of our children are in public schools. Or in schools dominated by Europeans. This is difficult, family. You are living. You know what? I'm going to say it that way. You're living in a whole house. It's hard to live in a whole house and not turn a trick. Sooner or later, you're going to pull your money out. That's the environment that we are in. It's not conducive. It is not African. It's anti-African. It instills self-hatred. And it's been that way. Teaches us to hate ourselves and to hate each other. And the belief of closeness to Caucasians, the better. Still. Yeah. Let me finish this because I'm going to read a little piece that I found. It's my sister here. I love this sister. This is from Dr. Stacy Patton from some Substack. Brothers and sisters, go to Substack. See if you can download Substack. And there's some good contributors to Substack. You know, Brother Khalil, he's outstanding. Many of the articles are long. They're not brief. They're in depth. You know? So, but go to Substack. I'm going to read this article. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about us. I ain't talking about us. I'm talking about everybody. Everybody. What this man, Trump, is doing and his minions is despicable. This is, I mean, and what these people are allowing him to do is despicable. Man. In fact, let me try to see if I can find. Man, I'll find the family. I'm gonna find. Just be patient with me. I'll find it. Check this out from Rachel Maddow. I just want to play this because this is what they're doing. I'm going to read the piece because I think this will support pretty much what I'm talking about, family.
Most important story in our news right now in our country in this moment in American history. I mean, there is clearly, I think, if we're being honest, we sort of stop beating around the bush about it. There's really no question what the United States is up against right now. I mean, the intentions of this president are not a mystery. There's no suspense. There's no ambiguity. Right. We know exactly who he is. We know exactly what he wants to do to the country. Right. No question. No mystery. It's as plain as day. The real question we are contending with, the real black box, the real drama, the story that really does need to be dug up and explained and told in our country because it is as yet undecided. The real mystery is not him. We know him. We know what he wants and what he's trying to do. The real mystery is, will he succeed? Will he get what he wants? And the answer to that will not be found by looking at him or by watching his actions. The answer to that question will come from the people of this country. The most important story of our time is this one. What is this country going to allow him to do? This is an attempted authoritarian overthrow of the United States Constitution and the U.S. government, the attempted imposition of a dictatorial regime. That is clear. That is unambiguous. I think it is unquestioned. I think there are very few people on any side of American politics who would contend with that. The question is whether it will work. And the way we will find out whether or not it's going to work is not going to be something that happens in the White House. It's going to be something that happens in the streets and in the courts and in the states and in Congress and in every other place that people are trying to say no. The strength of the movement against him is what will determine our fate as a country. And what we are seeing over and over again in what I believe is the most important story in the country, what we are seeing over and over again is that protesting against him works. That he wants to seem strong, but he is not that strong. Organizing against him works. Fighting him in court works. Pushing back works. Protesting in the streets works. And so Marcelo is free in Milford, Massachusetts, and Carol is free in Missouri, and the four-year-old girl in Bakersfield, California is free and alive. And in Albuquerque, the movement to keep Antonio here means that Antonio is still here. And none of these things are instant, right? And they don't always work. But pushback is the only thing that ever does work. So,
yeah, pushback. You know, I don't, I didn't play that because I want us to mobilize, get in the streets, and, you know, we shall overcome whatever. No. I played that because this is a challenge to Caucasians. Serious challenge to Caucasians. You know? And what's going to happen is this. Either the Caucasians understand what is happening in the takeover of this government and the elimination. Because it's never worked for us. I don't give a damn who's in office. But the point being, this is a move that is happening. Let me read this article from Dr. Stacy Patton. Again, you know, who I've been introduced to by my compliment, and I appreciate her tremendously. All those white girls drowned it, and the GOP still did nothing. All those white girls drowned it. No flood safety, no climate action, just thoughts and prayers. You remember my thoughts and prayers and profit. Here's a picture of one of the camps, Camp Mystic, of one of the groups of the camp, all these little Caucasian girls, Camp Bubbling, I guess that's part of the Camp Mystic. There's still three of them missing. All the others have been found. Look at this photo. Really look at it. 20 faces in the Texas sun, blindingly bright tennis courts behind them, the shadows crisp on the asphalt. They're all dressed in white, a uniform of summer camp innocence, ruffled sleeves, cotton skirts, white sneakers. Some girls have matching braided necklaces, Some girls have matching beaded necklaces. Others have hair and beads. Their skin is sun-flushed from days of outside. They're smiling in that practice, sometimes shy, sometimes blusterous, where children do when you say, cheese. There are two counselors, older teenage girls or younger women, arms around their charges, beaming with responsibility and affection. Behind them, green trees, chain link fence, a big empty sky, just days later, would unleash hell. Those empty skies that would just days later would unleash hell. Three of the faces in the picture now have the word missing stamped on them in red. Look at their last names, too. Bonner, DeWitt, Hunt, Landry, McCowan, Naylor, Peck, Pohl, Stevens, Marsh, Bellows. These are old Texas names, some Anglo, some German, some with deep Southern roots. Are they members of the same social circles? Just coincidence, maybe. These names speak to the continuity of community and history in a place like Texas. They tell you something about the people who spent their they tell you something about the people who send their kids to camps like this, about families who have been here for generations, who know the land and the riverbeds and the weather cycles, and who are seeing those cycles break in real time. Look at the captions under their names. Austin, Texas, Houston, Texas, Dallas, everywhere. These aren't random kids scattered across the country. They're clustered from the biggest, richest cities in Texas. Families who can afford summer camp tuitions, who share traditions of sending their daughters away for a few sunlit weekends, or weeks rather, weeks. It makes the grief map itself into the state. Austin parents making tearful calls. Houston churches praying over empty beds. Dallas neighborhoods with porch lights on for girls who would never come home. This wasn't just our community's tragedy. It rippled through the heart of Texas. City by city, family by city. These weren't strangers thrown together. They were part of an interwoven social fabric. When the floods came, it ripped that fabric. This photo isn't just a memory, it's a crime scene. It's not the kind of crime scene with yellow tape and chalk outlines. The kind our politicians like to wring its hands over when there's a convenient villain with a gun. No, this is the kind of crime scene you can't lock down because the crime is too big, too dispersed. It stretches from the warming of the Gulf of Mexico to the gilded boardrooms of oil companies, from the flooded rivers of Texas Hill Country to the marble floors of the U.S. Capitol, from the black water that swept through these girls, that swept them away, to the balance sheets of lobbyists who buy politicians like livestock. These girls drowned at camp. Think about that. Parents put them on buses or dropped them off with duffel bags packed with sunscreen, bug spray, stationery for riding home. They trusted the world to hold them safe in that sweet zone of childhood exploration and freedom. But the world didn't hold them safe. The world betrayed them. Because this world is on fire. And underwater at the same time. It's on fire and underwater at the same time. And the grown-ups in charge refuse to be a goddamn thing about it. They refuse to do a goddamn thing. That's what I'm saying, family, what I just read to you earlier. What are they going to do? It's been said to them countless times, but they deny it. And then when it happens, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Don't tell me Republicans care about children. They don't give a damn about children. They give less than a rat's ass, including children like the girls that you see in this photo. They will stand in front of TV cameras in Texas and weep about the heartbreak of these little girls, just like they offered thoughts and prayers after Sandy Hook. Remember that? Remember that? Remember when white, mostly middle class, first graders in Connecticut were gunned down in their classroom, and the GOP said, in effect, we can't do anything. If white America ever needed proof that the politicians who court them with the talk of family values and protecting the children don't give a damn about their children either, here it is. This is the same party that wrings its hands about demographic change, terrified that people of color will replace them in the electorate. The same party that builds walls and cages, that strips citizenship from brown and black children, but cuts funding for schools in American, African, and immigrant neighborhoods, that rails against DEI and critical race theory because they don't want white children learning the truth about American history. Lies. They don't care about power. Look at the photo again. Look at Molly DeWalt, Ellen Gettin, Abby Pohl, all labeled missing. These girls are missing, likely dead because the river jumped its banks. The river jumped its banks with all kind of violence that supposedly is to happen once in a century, but now happens again and again and again. The atmosphere is a heated, this atmosphere is a heated, heat-trapping blanket. Warm oceans breed monstrous storms. Downpours that used to be survivable turn into lethal flash floods. The science isn't new. It isn't controversial. All the men in charge know it. Texas Republicans, they know it. But fossil fuel, you know, but fossil fuel money lines their pockets. Real estate developers keep them in the office. They refuse to strengthen floodplains regulations because it might cut profits. They oppose environmental protections because it might cut donations. They won't even admit climate change is real. They won't even admit it's real, let alone to act on it, because the truth would cost them votes among people trained to see environmentalists as a slur. They'll cry at these girls' funerals. They'll speak solemnly about God's mysterious ways, but they will do nothing to prevent the next one, and there will be a next one. They'll do nothing for the families left to grieve. They'll do nothing for the next camp full of smiling children whose parents will wonder if they made a mistake sending them away for the summer.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Excuse me. Isn't it just? I'm sorry, family. Isn't it just hypocrisy? It's murder by policy. Just like fiscal responsibility is their favorite euphemisms for killing people. It's the same brand of political cowardice that let little white children be slaughtered in Newtown, Rhode Island, with AR-15 bullets shredding their little tiny bodies. If ever there was a moment to prove they care about kids, that was it. But the gun lobby needed their blood sacrifice, so they gave it to them. They gave in. They talk about banning abortions because they care so much about babies, but they don't give a damn if those babies grow up and drown in a flood or get shot in classrooms or drink poison water or struggle in the underfunded schools. They want them born. They don't want them safe. This is where Caucasian Americans needs to look at itself in the eye, because for too long, too many Caucasian voters have believed that the lie that the GOP's cruelty would stop at black and brown people, their children. That broader cages, welfare cuts, underfunded schools, abortion bans, Medicaid cuts, all of it would discipline those people. That the guns flooding their communities would be used against criminals who didn't like them. That deregulation would just mean fewer taxes and more freedom, not bridges collapsing or rivers rising. Yeah. But there is no such thing as target cruelty in the real world. Cruelty radiates outward. It finds new victims. When you set up a system where children are disposable, if their safety costs money, then all children become disposable. That's what the photo should tell you. That's what those missing labels in the red should scream at you. They are warning. Your kids are next, because these men will not save them. They will send them off to die for oil, for gun makers, for corporate donors who want to build new subdivisions on floodplains and say, buyer beware. For right-wing media, which monetizes denialism and rage. Man. They will sacrifice your daughters and sons on the altar of quarterly profits and election wins. And they will dare you to say anything about it. They will call you woke if you demand safer levees or better storm weather systems or stronger building codes. They will call you a socialist if you want public money to go to climate adaptation, flood mapping, green infrastructure. They will say you're a lib who hates freedom if you suggest it shouldn't be legal to sell AR-15s to 18-year-olds who want to be famous mass murderers. They will tell you to pray, to wait, to grieve quietly, to grieve quietly, because nothing can be done, because it's not their fault, because it's God's will. And when the next flood comes, when the next shooting comes, they'll put out another photo like that. Smiling kids, white dresses, white teeth, innocence gone. We need to see it for what it is, a system that has chosen to kill us rather than change. And if you are a white parent reading this, thinking about you are exempt, that this bargain will always protect your family, let those drowned girls to best you of that fantasy, to base you of that fantasy. This system is not designed to protect you. It is designed to extract from you until you are empty. Your vote, your labor, your hope, your children's lives. It has always worked this way. Even when it promised you it wouldn't only target others. It's time to stop believing the lie. It's time to stop letting your children be martyrs for ExxonMobil and Smith & Wesson and every craven politician who only reads job is to keep the machine humming. Look at that photo for one last time. See the smiles. See what they should have had. Lives full of summer camps and school plays and first kisses and college move-in days. Then ask yourself, what the hell are you going to do about it? Not a damn thing. Not a damn thing. The other thing about that is this. I played the first piece by Rachel Maddow because that's why this is happening. This weak-ass Republican Party who has kowtowed to this individual, this flat-ass, stinking son of a... and bow down to him. Where a bill was introduced in Congress and discussed and debated and then voted on up or down, and then signed into law by the president. That shit ain't happening. This is executive order. We ain't debate nothing. I'm writing this. I'm signing this. This is executive order. And so, when it happens, he'll visit. I don't know if he's visited that area, but he'll visit the area and say this, that, and the other, you know. But he said some stupid things. His first term was just really, I actually need to read that, how he, in his first terms, all the stupid things that this man has said. When he went to Puerto Rico and talked about Puerto Ricans and then threw paper towel at him. Here. Like he's playing bath, just throwing paper towels at him. Now go clean this up. This man is the worst ever. I don't give a damn about this country. Okay, y'all know that. I can give less than a rat's ass because I know its history. And I know for us as African people what we should be doing now and must do. In terms of repatriation, in terms of going home, doing for self. helping the African continent rid itself of all the stupidity and ignorance and superstition. Because that's what time it is. I'm going to take a break. I need to take a break, right? I'm going to take a break a little earlier than I usually do. When we come back from the break, the phone lines will be open. If you want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, we can do that. You know? Because I'm telling you, this is bothering me. Not the children dying, not the, all the other stuff like that. What's bothering me is our unwillingness, but I understand why. I understand how. I'm going to play some funk. Yeah, get off to some funk. One could argue, you must be in a funk. I stay in a funk, okay? Yeah. We're going to take this break and we'll be back. A little brass construction for you. Get up, get down. Yeah. We'll be right back. You stay with us. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network. But, first let me say this because I don't want this time to pass. Today is Mama Nubuntu's birthday. That's right. Today is Mama Nubuntu's birthday and all the things that she does with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, the Collard Green Festival that is going to be happening very soon in September. And all the great stuff that she does, she's a tireless worker for our community. So happy birthday, Mama Nubuntu. We love you. We appreciate you. All right. Let it happen.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. Brass Construction. That was funky, wasn't it? Love it. I'll tell you, the 70s, man. You can't beat it. 70s and 80s. Love it. Fascism. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Disdain for human rights. Identification of enemies, scapegoats, has a unifying course. Supremacy of military, rampant sexism, controlled mass media, obsessed with national security, religion, and government are intertwined. Corporate power is protected. Labor power is suppressed. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Obsessed with crime and punishment. Rampant cronyism and corruption. Fraudulent elections. Has I read that to you? That was a definition of fascism of a piece that I did here on this program many, many, many years ago. Fascism. That's what we're witnessing. Robert Reich was the Labor Secretary. Oh, no, Secretary. Many years ago under Bill Clinton. And Robert Reich said, friends, Trump's 940-page big ugly-ass bill was passed today by the House and is now on the way to the White House to be signed by that asshole. It is a disgrace. It takes more than $1 trillion out of Medicaid, leaving about 12 million Americans without insurance by 2034, and lashes food stamps, all to give giant tax cuts to wealthy Americans, the elite. It establishes an anti-immigrant police state in America, replete with a standing army ICE of ICE agents, and a gulag of detention facilities that will transform ICE into the most heavily funded law enforcement agency in the government. Alligator, what's that? In the swamp. Alligator detention. It will increase the already bloated deficit by It will increase the bloated deficit by $3.4 trillion. It's also disgraceful because of how it came to be. Trump was elected with only a plurality of American voters, not a majority. He eked out his win by a margin of only 1.5%. His big ugly bill squeaked by in the Senate by one vote, supplied by the vice president when there's a tie in the Senate. Whenever there's a tie, because there's 100 senators. There's 50 states, right? Yeah. Two senators per state, period. Two senators, whatever. It don't go by population. Congresspersons go by population. How many population? How big is your population? That's how many votes of congresspersons that you'll get. But the Senate, two senators. They can be one Democratic, one Republican, or they can be both Republican or both Democrat. It doesn't matter. Two senators. And when it's a tie like that, the vice president gets the deciding vote. And in this case, of course, it was going to go Trump's way. And by just two votes in the House, no Democrat in either chamber voted for it. So it's seriously bipartisan. Seriously partisan vote. Polls show most Americans oppose it. It was passed nonetheless, within an artificial deadline set by Trump because of Trump's total grip on the Republican Party. Republican lawmakers feared that Trump would go after defectors with public attacks or endorsements of primary challengers. They also feared whether a blowback from conservative media, mega diehards, and Trump himself on social media. After North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis announced his opposition to the bill, Trump posted on Truth Social, "Tillis is a talker and a complainer, not a doer. He's even worse than Rand Paul." Rand Fauci, Paul. Then Trump pledged to back primary challenges to Tillis, and Tillis announced that he would not seek re-election. Trump called that a good news and threatened primary challenges against other Republican fiscal conservatives standing in the way of this bill's passage. Fascism. A dictator. Other presidents in my lifetime have been able to summon majorities of lawmakers for unpopular causes. I think of Lyndon Johnson and the Civil Rights Act of 64 and the Voting Rights Act of 65. But none with the retribution, threats, social media theory, and potentially violent base of supporters that Trump is now wielding. Needless to say, the Civil Rights and the Voting Rights Act made America more inclusive. Trump's big ugly ass bill makes America crueler. The best analogy isn't to Lyndon Johnson, it's to the strong man of the 30s, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Franco. That's such a regressive, dangerous, gargantuan, and unpopular piece of legislation could get through Congress shows how far Trump has dragged America into modern fascism. Give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Give us what's on your mind. What is your African perspective on the issues of our day? Fascism. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Disdain for human rights. Identification of enemies. Scapegoats. As a unifying course. Supremacy of the military, rampant sexism, control mass media, obsessed with national security, religion, and government are intertwined. Religion and government are intertwined. Corporate power is protected, labor power is suppressed. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Obsession with crime and punishment, rampant cronyism and corruption, fraudulent elections. Is that not what you just witnessed? Is that not what you are witnessing? Is that not? Rescue me if I'm wrong. But once again, whether they do something or not, or whether Trump is or not. The real bottom line for us is for us to get our minds and our act together. That's the real question. That's why it's imperative. I mean, seriously imperative. You know, I read the Inyasasim. Every time I do this program, and there are some, of course, that I've missed because I had some days. Last Friday, I was preempted by the international call for African unity in support of Ibrahim Traoré in the Sahel and any other African country, any other Africans, anywhere in the diaspora who are trying to be liberated. Because, you know, I said this many times, a lot of people, because some people believe in all other things that could happen. Truly, many people believe in divine intervention and believe that Christianity, particularly, that Jesus is coming again. And, you know, the churches, although they're not full anymore, because many people aren't going to church, particularly young people aren't going to church. And other religions, Islam, because Islam and Christianity and Judaism are the three, as they call it, the three symphonic religions that they parody each other. You have Judaism started by, in fact, Abraham is the father of all of this madness, supposedly. But of course he didn't exist. But anyway, he's the father of all this madness because of, you know, Hagar, who his wife Sarah couldn't get pregnant, so he had sex with Hagar, and she had a child, Ishmael. And of course, there was dissension in the camp. And so God told Abraham to tell Hagar, because Hagar was, you know, was Sarah's handmaiden. That was Sarah's, you know, valet. That was Sarah's slave. You know how language is. And so God said, hey, there's some dissension in the camp. Why don't you tell her she got to go? And she told me, you and that child, y'all got to go. I know it's my son, biologically, I guess, but you got to go. And God will protect you. And of course, she's out there alone, her child, and, you know, in the desert and everything like that. And they were saved. And God told her her child would be a great and mighty man of many nations. And of course, he became a Muslim. And he, Ishmael, helped bring in Islam and Prophet Muhammad, you know. And so God helped Sarah have a baby, yeah. Jacob and Esau. And what you call, like Esau, because he was a hunter, mighty man. Jacob was hanging around the camp all the time with his mama, mama's boy, I guess you put it. And so as Isaac was, this is Noah's son to Sarah, was Isaac. As Isaac was going blind, Isaac tells, you know, his twin sons, Jacob and Esau. He tells Esau, hey man, why don't you go cook that delicious meal that I love, you know? Go out there and do the hunting thing you do and bring me back that delicious meal that I love. So off, and I'll give you the birthright and the blessing. I'll give you the birthright. I'm about to fade up out of here. You know, it's like it was going bad. And so Esau goes off to do his thing, to bring him back that meal. In the interim, I can't remember his wife's name, but she says to Jacob, hey, listen, Esau's out there hunting. He's going to bring back that food and give and get the blessing and the birthright. I want you to do this. And that he does that. And so he goes in front of him and he fools him. He says, it's the voice. Because see, Esau was hairy, which a lot of times means strength. He was hairy. Jacob was smooth. His body was smooth. And so they put some fur on his arms and so forth, you know, and brought him the meal. The meal was just as like that he would have if Esau had done it. So he gave him the birthright and eventually he took the blessing. And of course, when Esau came back with the meal, he says, no, man, you did that. You came here earlier. You know, I've given the blessing the birthright away already. Huh? Yeah, so he was gonna kill Jacob, so Jacob's mother told him, hey, Esau is pissed. You better get up out of here, dude. He ain't playing. And so Jacob, you know, he gets away and he falls asleep. You know, and he has a battle with God. Supposedly he climbed the ladder, climbing Jacob's ladder, and he has this battle. And so in his dream and so forth and everything like that, because he battled God, and he said, no longer will your name be Jacob, but your name will be Israel. Your name will be Israel. And that's the birth of Jewish people. That's the birth of Jewish people. Jacob. Yeah. And of course, the 12 tribes of Jews, the 12 people. Yeah. And then through Jacob, there's Joseph. And through that lineage comes Jesus. So that's how these three religions are tied together. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And they are no different than Shintoism, Krishna, whatever other religion that you want to talk about. The different sects of all of these religions. The multiple sects of Christianity and Islam as well as Judaism. I'll say this, family. The religions, I don't know why that's popped into my mind, he says, these particularly the Sephardic religions of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam ain't nothing but, as Dr. John Henry Clark, who you know I love, he said, these ain't nothing but male chauvinistic murder cults. Look at them. That's what they are. Male, all of them, very hardcore patriarchal, hardcore patriarchal. Very murderous. You know. And the people who subscribe to them, don't they act like they're in a cult? Because, yeah, they is. believing, because when you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. That great visionary, Stevie Wonder. When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And we don't understand this madness. And we have been a suffering people. The biggest religions on the continent is Christianity and Islam. It's not traditional African religions. It's not spiritualism. When I've seen many of these pastors go on their African tours, Benny Hinn, whichever one you want to use, Jimmy Swaggart just passed, you know, or all of them, they go and they have these, you know, big revivals with literally hundreds of people, and they do their thing, you know. Benny Hinn is interesting, you know. He just flings his hand or takes his coat and just hits you with his coat, with his jacket, and you pass out. There's a good movie with that revival thing and the scam that it is. I think it was. Can't remember the name of it, but it was Martin was in it, the comedian. He was the preacher, you know. They had a whole group, and they had planted people who, on cue, would either fall out or get up or whatever. No. Yeah. That's like you would think that, hey, people doing this kind of stuff, you know, if there really was God and there really was benevolence and grace and so forth, you figure that they would intervene and strike them son of a bitches dead. But no. They let them act out their evil. They let them bring their indiscretions and all of this stuff that they do to the fore. And you may fall victim to it, or you may fall prey to it, or you, whatever the case may be, so be it. That's life. That's life. Yeah. Mama Bayinas talked about, because she part of her presentation, she talked about voodoo, you know, and of course, to the general public and to many of us, particularly those who are Christian, voodoo is evil. And they think of zombies and so forth. It's evil. And so what Mama Bayina said, well, tell me if voodoo has caused wars, have killed hundreds of thousands of people, and imposed itself. Tell me if they've done those things in the name of Islam, Christianity, what you see the European Jews are doing today. No. So, you talk about evil. Yeah. So Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Baboshi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm doing well.
I hear you spitting out this knowledge, man, that a lot of people, this may be the first time they've heard this, Baboshi. I think we take for granted that when we read and educate ourselves, because you know, like I know, that you can learn how to study, you can learn the European books and graduate and get your diploma, you still, by the numbers, a bag of potato chips mm-hmm. when it comes to who you are, where you're from. And you know, white people tend to tell us, especially from this television, about a purpose of what is your purpose? You have to find your purpose. Hmm. My purpose is to keep your foot off my neck. That's my purpose.
I say.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, yeah. Baba Oshie, these Caucasians, they're into the distraction game, where they distract you. They want you to, I need you to look at this left hand while this right hand is doing some things you don't really want to
exactly.
see. You know, yeah. And that's what's going on now, Baba Oshie. Mm-hmm. The sleight of hand. That's right. It's the three-card Molly.
Yep.
You know, which one is it under? And that's where, I think that's where this culture that we're living with. And you know what, Baba Oshie, every time I listen to you speak, I get a little frustrated because I want to do something that appears to be so unrealistic. I want to just put my stuff in a bag and I want to leave. And I know that when I get to where I'm going, it's not going to be streets of gold and we're going to drink nectar all day and walk around naked and just eat bananas and fruit and all kinds of stuff. I know that's not the case.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what I do know is it has to be something better than this. Because Baba Oshie, right now, and you stop me when I start lying, you can be pulled over by the police when you leave wherever you are right now in your brand new vehicle and you could be killed.
Yeah.
Just because.
For sure.
Because they feel like it.
Yeah.
Because their daughter seeing a black guy. Because their wife got mad at him in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because of something Donald Trump said that mm-hmm. resonated as true to them. They could kill you.
Yeah.
Now you're...
And have it justified.
You're gone.
And have it justified.
And that's correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
Especially if there's nobody else witnessing what's happening. And even at that, even though they're witnessing what's happening, they could be persuaded or they could be killed as well. Because the truth will prevail within them because they have control over it. You know, there's been many police officers who I believe have killed innocent people and of course gotten away because they are the law. They are the law. Just like I said, I killed them because I can.
Say that. And that, I watched the movie, it's a series called 61st Precinct or something, about a lawyer who brought down the Chicago Police Department, and this white police officer beat this black man to death because he wouldn't stop playing music in his car or something to that effect.
Mm.
And he actually kept asking the white guy, why did you kill him? Why did you kill him? And he kept saying it, and the white guy finally said, because I could. That spoke volumes to me, Baba Oshie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can. So you're in a place where you can kill somebody because you feel like it. And you think there's going to be no repercussion. There's going to be no consequence. You're going to go home and play with your kids and throw them up in the air and go on about your life. And you've just destroyed not just that person, but their whole family's destroyed, Baba Oshie.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's killed by the police, it doesn't just affect that person or his wife or his children. It affects his aunts, his uncles, his grandparents.
Right.
Everybody's affected by that.
Right.
Baba Oshie, and we as a people, we have had to live through this for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
That someone can walk in because you spilled the sweet tea or because you didn't pick enough cotton or because you didn't work long enough in the factory and you can be removed from this earth because they feel like it. And that is so wrong, Baba Oshie.
Yeah.
And they do it because they can. And we know, and they know it's wrong. I'm not saying that white people are so stupid not to understand when they're doing something wrong. Because, by the way, I just saw a documentary on the Native Americans and how they slaughtered these people. They massacred them.
Yes.
To take their land.
Yes.
Just to take their.
Yes.
you want to marry these people?
Because the people, they control the narrative. They control it. So they're good. When you look at, just like what I read earlier about what Trump wants to do, get rid of DEI, get rid of critical race theory, get rid of the history that is so adversely affected us, get rid of all that, and give these white people and anybody else within the school system this glorified manifest destiny of white people, because to them the ends justify the means. But I want to deal with that. I don't want to talk about that. All the ends that justify the fact that this is so-called democracy, so-called capitalism. No, I don't want to give you that, because it's too hard. It is too hard for these Caucasians. You know, yeah. I tell you,
what
the problem, of course, is that we're trained to believe this. We're trained to believe this. Everything, as we were coming up, the movies, in the books, in the instructions, you know, particularly as a young child, you know, what they told you about George Washington, what they told you about Lincoln, what they told you about the Pilgrims, what they told you all these things, trying to give this image of what this country is in a glorified way, in a way that it was humane, it was a shining beacon on the hill, and all this old book. See, but the reality of it, and that's why this society will not last long. You know, we may not be here to see it, but it is going down because of how corrupt it is. And especially when you have someone like Trump who helps to bring it down much, much further and faster because of how he is. Because you're not going to have the so-called democracy where the majority of the people rule. No, you're going to have what you're having now is a fascism. Dictatorship. That's what's going on now, and there's going to be a lot of people suffering.
And Baba Ushi, those things look attractive mm-hmm. when you're losing grip, when things are slipping out of your hand. I mean, for me, I look at the History Channel who tells me all about all the bad things that Hitler did, and I'm saying to myself, Hitler was a damn genius. He was able to make those people believe, he made them people believe that they could actually take over the world and command everybody. Mm-hmm. And Trump, and it seems like Trump has, he's a genius. Well, let's look at that genius for a minute. Trump doesn't read. How do I know he doesn't read, Baba Oshie? It's the same reason I know that you read. Because mm-hmm. what's in your head comes out your mouth. If you didn't read it, nobody's going to run up to you and tell you about the pyramids. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to run up to you and tell you about John Henry. You know, when you talk about John Henry Clark, I saw it on CNN. They were celebrating. No, you never seen it. It's never celebrating. How do I know you got to read by Ocean? Mm-hmm. Well, I heard myself in the feedback. They've never celebrated John Henry Clark on CNN, and they never will. On MSNBC, they love black people so much and want this to be equal and everything, that want the start line to be even for everybody. No, they don't. Capitalism doesn't even work like that.
No, it doesn't.
And they don't teach capitalism in school. They teach... We're being steered to where they want us to be. And once we get there, there's no use for us. Mm-hmm. I think that black people have run their course in this so-called democracy. I believe that that Africa has risen. Africa will be able to steer its own path. I don't think it needs these imaginary lines that were drawn in Africa, these boundary lines that separated tribes and families and all. Because white people constantly want to separate the black family. Mm-hmm. Everything they do is to break down your black family, even with homosexuality, mm-hmm. even with them, even when it was heterosexual when they brought. it tried to enslave black people, and then they separated the family. Even right now, they're separating the family. What we're not doing as a people is we're not walking collectively. We're still into that rugged individualism. You got one person with a whole lot of money because he's imitating white folks. Because why would one white man have $172 billion? One person. How does he sleep at night stepping over homeless people? Out here in L.A., it's over 100,000 homeless people. You got to see them every day.
Listen, in L.A., you would think that the majority of the homeless people would be Latino or Caucasian. Because we're not. That we don't have those numbers, us as American Africans, we don't have those numbers in Los Angeles or in California. But the most people who are homeless in California are us.
That's right.
Are us.
That's right. Us.
Us.
You know? That's us. Mm. It's us. And we don't have one opium field in Baltimore. When I grew up there, it was 55,000 drug addicts. It's more now. Mm-hmm. In Baltimore. And I said, we don't grow opium. How we get drugs? Everybody that I hung with when I was young knew somebody or had a gun. Had a gun. We don't manufacture guns by the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So something systematically is happening to us to get the guns and the drugs in our neighborhoods, but you can't get the supermarket in our neighborhood.
Mm.
You can't get the black-owned hospital in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You can't get the institutions aren't in our neighborhood. Even if we get some money, we can't put it in a black bank
mm-hmm.
because we don't have any. And the ones we do have are just fronts for white people because we refuse. I'm telling you, Bob Oshie, and I'm going to stop after this. If we keep with this integrationist mindset, we're going to keep shooting ourselves in the foot.
I say.
If we keep trying to be with someone who doesn't want to be with us, someone who will rub your back, and it's me and you until it's me or you. That's where they are.
Yeah.
Stay with me, my emotions.
Yeah.
That's where these Caucasians are.
Yes.
And we are sitting here pacifying ourselves with drugs and alcohol and illicit sex. And I said sex. I didn't say love. I said sex. You can get everything is sex. Mm-hmm. And as soon as somebody is successful at doing it, you want to put him on trial for a RICO charge, okay? P. Diddy is doing exactly what he's told to do. Have as much sex as you can, spend as much money as you can, and step on everybody to get where you want to go. He's successful at it, and they lock him up.
That's the American way. That's the American way.
Bob, put me on. Please let me hold. I'm a hold on, man. I'm listening. You know I'm listening.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anyone else has something to say? I don't know who's online. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yo, what's up, O?
Hey, what's up, Jay? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I can't call it, man. You know, it's same old, same old, same old. Mm. You know, the caca doesn't change that much, man. What's happening with you?
Oh man, I'm doing well, brother. I'm doing okay.
What devious shit was you talking about today about Fredo?
Oh, you know, at one time I didn't want to say a damn thing about him, but everything that he has done is very impactful to all of us and how things are going. The fact that he's a fascist. You know, there's no doubt about it. Fascism is what's happening to this country by his dictates. You know, it used to be that you had a bill was submitted and discussed and debated and then added to it or deleted from it and so forth. And then it was voted on if it passed and it went to the president's desk to be signed into law. But this cat ain't doing that shit. His thing is, you know, executive orders. I say it. Executive orders. I mean, this. How long he been in office? Like 7 months now. All of them.
Yeah.
All of them executive orders.
He's definitely changing the dynamics of the country and the world with his behavior.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, even though the world sees him as a fucking laughing stock.
And they do.
They
and
don't respect him.
And they don't.
He doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, he got the sycophants and the evil behind him. You know, it's amazing. I was looking at some article where they was talking about how these congressmen from these red states voted against the majority of the interests of the people that they represent. And it's sad, man, because a lot of people are going to die because of what they did. And it's like the country doesn't even have anything in place to deal with it. You know, you're just going to let people die.
Yeah.
And you know, you're going to come up with some sort of cockamamie excuse or why they dying and this and that. And, you know, when you think about it, it's crazy, man.
Yeah. Well, I just
and it shows the carelessness and the hatred of these people, man. You know, when they say the white man is the devil, the white man is the devil. And some of our people who go along with it and who participated ain't too far behind them, man.
Yeah.
It's just evil.
In his evolutionary development, as opposed to ours.
Well, I mean, you know, think about it,
his
man.
His selfishness, his callousness, his greediness, his sexism, all of those things that he has been about. He is.
But look at it this way. Look at it this way. Think about what the world's going to be like in 3 years. Think about that. Think about what the world is going to be like in 3 years because of the things that this psychopath is doing.
Go ahead. Tell me.
I don't even think people are going to realize the catastrophes that's going to go on in this country with people's lives. I mean, well, it's going to be...
You already seen it.
Most of... Well,
Jay,
I mean,
you already
it's
seen it,
because
look what happened with this flood. I've said on this program a number of times. In fact, I've had two programs in my memory. I've been here in Atlanta since 2014, even though I started this radio program a few months before I moved. So I've been on radio all this time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, consistently all this time. So I do have a lot of content when you go to timeforanawakening.com and top of the page, podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. I have a whole bunch. Two programs I did specifically on climate change. On climate change. And these people, and this have been deniers of climate change. They told you climate change is a result of fossil fuel burnings. There's the warming of the planet, global warming. Why these things are so intense and so long is because of this. But yet you refuse. I read this article, as I said before, at the firehouse table in the early 80s. That's what, damn near 40 years ago. And yet they still do nothing about it. They do nothing about it. So, you know, the bottom line is this. We are in an environment that we don't control here in this country. But even though global warming or climate change affects the planet, period. So once you do nothing, everybody's going to be affected. I often felt I was hoping that the continent would not be. Oh, of course the continent is going to be affected. Europe is affected. Hell, they're having, just as the heat waves are happening here, they're happening in Europe. I just saw a news piece where these older people in France are just sweltering, you know. And I'm quite sure they don't have the equipment in some of these older places. Some of these houses are so old. But the point being, man, is that you have a world dominated by Europeans. And Europeans, their mindset is individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's who they are. That's what they do. They don't think about nobody but themselves. Greed. How can I get more and more? and then causing violence, wars. That's how they measured their history, through war. This conflict, that conflict, through war. They don't measure the history through progress of innovation, progress through, they measure it through war. That's who these people are. So yeah, man, we got to get up out of here, man. That to me, that is the bottom line. We have to get up out of here.
The bottom line also is that this situation isn't looking like it's going to get any better.
No.
Anytime soon.
No.
And the thing is, you know, whatever your medical insurance is and all of that,
mm-hmm.
let me tell you, start preparing for next year because it's going up.
Yeah.
I know the type of fees that I pay for medical insurance. I'm preparing myself for at least a 35% increase, you know, and I have pretty good insurance, but I know everything is going to go up insurance wise, you know, so
yeah.
I don't know what to say, man. You know what I mean? Cause I ain't looking to go out there and hustle no money no more. Shit, I got enough.
I hear you, bro.
I can't do it. I have no patience to get up and be a hard working man.
Well, the real deal is to, you know, promote health within yourself and your family. What you eat, sleep, everything to promote health, so you can, you know, withstand this ugly ass storm that's coming. Let me get to another call, Jay.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, man. Catch another one. Put me on mute.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brother Ted, what's up? How you doing?
Hey there, Bubba. I just got a little thrown off. I have to get off and I'm jumping back on. But that's all right. That's all right. I'm still having energies from your Monday program.
Oh, right on. Okay.
That having that eyes behind the back of your head.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Eyes. Trusting. The whole thing was about trust. Trusting the eyes behind you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and also to try to understand what's in front of you. That's what I was asking about with regards to, do we understand? Do we know what it is that we see in order to be able to see?
Good point, brother.
Behind the back of the head. So, you know, you kind of go forward and kind of go backward at the same time. But
I hear you.
Other than that, though, eventually there'll be another time. And I'm going to get the book, the phone number to the Black Dot I have.
I sent you a number. Did you get that?
Yeah, I got that one, and that wasn't working either.
Oh, no, that's the one I just called the brother on. I called the Jammu on that,
well,
on that number. Right, so if there's a problem, then I will try to get another number for you, Brother Ted. But
yeah, that's right. I wanted to order the book, too.
Okay.
So, but other than that, until next time, brother, until Friday.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, because I put my area code in there instead of 404. I put 414. Damn. So put it four. So take the number and put 404. 519-8107. Okay.
All right.
I appreciate
all
it.
Right.
Thank you, Brother Dolan.
That's all right. That's
okay,
all right.
Brother.
It's all in the spirit of togetherness and being able to understand and learn. So
all right,
thank
brother.
Thank you so very much.
All right.
Bye-bye, as always. All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, brother. How you doing? How you doing, man? Is this Brother Paul?
Oh, sorry, no. Babauchi. Yeah, it's me. Okay, yeah, man. Sorry, I didn't realize it was me. I'm doing fantastic, Babauchi. Absolutely
good.
On top of the world. Fantastic.
Good.
Alive
good.
And kicking. Giving thanks for life always. Let me just jump straight into it.
Sure.
Babauchi, you know, whenever you talk about climate change, it always gets me thinking. It does stir me up a little bit, yeah? Because I, you know, the things which I was thinking about. You know the Mayan calendar. Have you heard of the Mayan calendar?
Oh, sure, the Mayans. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know how old that is,
sure.
Don't you?
Yes.
But you know that they talked about floods and a whole like, group of lands flooding and everything. You know that, don't you?
Okay.
Are you aware of that?
Yes, yes.
All right. Even the Bible, this book with the Bible, sure. We know it's not a book of fact, but it talks about Noah and floods and everything,
sure.
Doesn't it?
Sure.
So doesn't that suggest that these things have been happening from day one or not?
Oh, no doubt about it. They have. They have.
So the point I'm trying to make is, and I've said it before, but I'm not saying it to you per se, and I'm not even arguing with you. I'm just putting it out in the ether because I feel in my soul that sometimes you have to speak truth. The truth of the matter is man does not control absolutely nothing on this planet. This is man's whole arrogance. It's just arrogant. He just feels he got the right to say what he says and do what he do. And it's just rubbish, nonsense. And in 2025, the young people are aware of this because they've got access to information. So if you're not talking the truth, the young people ain't going to be interested. They're not going to buy it because they can tap on their phone and know what time of day it is. They don't have to listen to nobody. So I'm just saying on their behalf, like, look, climate change, we all know, young people know. They're being hoodwinked. They know. They don't believe.
They don't believe.
Hold on, Paul.
They don't believe that man, human beings, have adversely affected the climate. They don't believe that. Hold on, Paul. Years ago, when you didn't have the Industrial Revolution, when you didn't pour pollutants into the air, when everything was natural, there was no. There probably was a flood here and there because of some climatic situation that happened. But this situation is man-made. Human beings did this to the planet. Cool. And it's real. You can see that. I don't mean to do this, but you can see that by the amount of permafrost that has been melted, the amount of glaciers that are just falling into. It is real. This is not a fairy tale. This is real.
Baba Ochi.
Okay.
Do you know why the ice is there? Do you know why the ice is at the North Pole?
The reason why the ice is there because it doesn't get the amount of sunlight. It doesn't get the amount of warmth and heat that other parts of the world get. Particularly the northern part. That's why the southern part, even though the earth tilts on its axis for causing the four seasons, you know, towards the sun, the northern part, that's summer. When it's fall, it's even. And then away from the sun, that's winter.
And you also know that the earth is traveling at over 1,400 kilometers per second. You know that, don't you?
Okay.
You know that.
Okay. If you imagine
that if we're traveling through space and time, do you not think that you think it's not going to change? It's not going to change its axis. Do you think, that the pole at the north is going to stay the same if we're traveling at over 1,400 kilometers per second? Do you think it's going to stay the same? I mean, come on.
No.
I mean, think of a ball. Just imagine. Think of a ball, right? If you kick a ball, it changes shape, by the way, through to pressure. So the earth is continually changing shape, continually. And it's continually changing its axis, right? So when you see polar shifts, it's because the earth is changing its axis because we're traveling. And not only are we traveling, the whole universe, this solar system, is traveling too. It's traveling. So everything's traveling.
Right. Okay? It's traveling around the sun. It's traveling around the life-giving. It's not traveling. It's traveling around the sun. When somebody say they're traveling, you mean going a distance away. No, the earth isn't going a distance away. The earth has been in a path like the other planets that are in this solar system.
No, that's not right. The universe, the solar system is traveling around the sun. Yes.
Yes.
But the universe itself is expanding.
I agree with that.
Okay, right. So it's not just the sun. We're going around the sun. The whole solar system is traveling as well. It's moving. So everything. And let me tell you this as well, for the sake of argument, I ain't got much time. everything what's reflects in the universe is reflected in the body. In actual fact, it's reflected in everything. So everything is in a constant state of change. So when people talk about climate change, the reason why they keep pushing this narrative, because they want to get money out of you. Because right now they're taxing you on carbon, and soon they'll be they're taxing you for water already. You're paying for water, and soon you'll be paying for air. Soon you'll be paying for air. And you no one should pay for water, because water is vital to life. But that's how they've tricked you.
Right.
That's how they've fooled you up. Okay? So the reality of it is, right, I'm just saying this. The young people ain't buying none of this. Because, and I'll tell you why. Because they can tap on their phone, and all I just told you, they don't need to go to school to learn that. They can get from their phone.
Sure.
I'm telling you this.
But the other thing is, what they may get from this, from their phones, is that factual. You know, don't believe everything that you see, hear, read. Well, you know,
well,
some of this, especially in Western society, because Western society has proven to be lies. Lies.
You know, some people are a bunch of liars. I've been using the internet from the outset. I've been using this internet long before most people even on this platform.
Sure.
I've been using it from the beginning.
Sure.
Right? From the beginning. Okay. And I can tell you as fact, the majority of it is not lies. It's not.
Mm. Oh, now I say the majority of it is lies. I'm just, hold on, Paul. I'm not saying that the majority of it is lies. I'm saying that the people who program, the people in Western society are liars. They are.
Yeah. Exactly. We got the Bible to tell us that. We got the Quran to tell us about the lies they've told. Tell us about some pie in the sky. That's the biggest lie ever. Okay, so the relative is, it's not the internet is the problem. It's the Bible and the Quran is the problem, because we're talking about some God who don't even exist. Okay, talking about some Jesus who don't even exist. We're willing to die for that. You got people coming on your radio station talking all kind of nonsense about that, and we know, most of the young people know, this doesn't exist. That's why the young people ain't paying attention to you old people anymore.
That's true.
They don't pay attention. They know these things don't exist. They're just nonsensical. So when you're talking, you might as well be talking to them in Disney World, because they're not paying attention to that, because they can get the information. Yeah, there are lies, but if you've got good sense, intellect and intelligence, and you do your due diligence, Baba Ochi, you can work these things out.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And some of these young people, they're very smart, you know. Trust me. As much as you think, they're extremely intelligent. I'm talking on it, but they are very wise to what's going on.
I agree.
So all I'm saying is, we as the elders, we got to stop buying into this propaganda these people are spreading, right? Because and it's not just started the other day; it's started as Charles Williams says, 6,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And people need to go and read that book, because I don't think they're really reading it. He talked about all this.
Mm-hmm.
Destruction of black civilization. He talked about why we are in this position. Yeah, so the reality is, it's done. The work has been done. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all been done, Baba Ochi. Thank you for giving me the time.
Oh, man. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you, Brother Paul. You have a blessed day, man. Hope to hear you on Friday, man. All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, I got it right this time, means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahordie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great day and be safe. Peace, family.